Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 12. Acts, chapter 12. We're going to read verse 5 together, then we'll read a few other verses in the same chapter. We're going to read all these verses in unison together this morning. Acts, chapter 12, verse number 5. Acts chapter 12, verse number 5. Let's read this verse in unison together. Ready? Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now turn over to the same chapter, verses 11 and 12. Acts chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. Let's read these two verses together in unison as well. Ready? And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now skip down to verse number 16, and this will be the last verse. Let's read this together in unison as well. Ready? But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for meeting here with us. Father, I pray that you'd use our preacher. Or just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of needs in this room represented by each person. Lord, there's no way one human could meet all those needs, but you could use the Holy Spirit to work through the words of our preacher to meet those needs. Father, may we be yielded and willing to listen to you as he preaches, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
My sermon this morning is going to be extremely simple. I do not want to spend too much time convincing us that we take those things that God made simple and somehow the human race tends to complicate them. I spend my life taking the Word of God and reminding people how simple it is. Some preachers, I don't know what they're trying to do. They take the Word of God and make it so complicated nobody can understand it. God doesn't work that way, and that's not God's intent. I do want you to listen to this. If Noah had lived in the United States today, the story may have gone something like this. The Lord spoke to Noah and said, In 1 year I'm going to make it rain and cover the whole earth with water until all flesh is destroyed. But I want you to save the righteous people and two of every kind of living thing on earth. Therefore, I am commanding you to build an ark. In a flash of lightning, God delivered the specifications for an ark. And in fear and trembling, Noah took the plans and agreed to build the ark. Remember, said the Lord, you must complete the ark and bring everything aboard in a year or so. Exactly 1 year later, a fierce storm cloud covered the earth, and all the seas of the earth were in a tumult. The Lord saw that Noah was sitting in his front yard weeping. Noah, he shouted, where is the ark? Lord, please forgive me, cried Noah. I did my best, but there were big problems I did not foresee. First, I had to get a permit for construction. And your plans did not meet the building codes. I had to hire an engineering firm to redraw your plans. Then I got into a fight with OSHA over whether or not the ark needed a sprinkler system and approved flotation devices. Then my neighbor objected, claiming I was violating zoning ordinances by building the ark in my front yard, so I had to get variances from the City Planning Commission. Then, Lord, I had problems getting enough wood for the ark because there was a ban on cutting trees to protect the spotted owls. I finally convinced the U.S. Forest Service that I really needed the wood to save the owls. However, the Fish and Wildlife Service won't let me take the two owls with me. The carpenters formed a union and went on strike, and I had to negotiate a settlement with the National Labor Relations Board before anyone would pick up a saw or a hammer. Now I have 16 carpenters on the ark we didn't plan for, but they still won't give me the two owls. When I started rounding up the other animals, an animal rights group sued me. They objected to me taking only two of each kind aboard, suing, and the suit is pending. Meanwhile, the EPA notified me that I could not complete the ARC without filing an Environmental Act impact statement on your proposed flood. They didn't take very kindly to the idea that they had no jurisdiction over the conduct of the creator of the universe. The Army Corps of Engineers demanded a map of the proposed floodplain. I just gave them a globe. Right now, I'm trying to resolve a complaint filed with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission that I am practicing discrimination by not taking atheists on board. The IRS has seized my assets, claiming that I'm building the ark in preparation to flee the country to avoid paying taxes on it. I just got a notice from the state that I owe them some kind of user tax and failed to register the ark with the state of West Virginia as a recreational watercraft. And finally, the ACLU got the courts to issue an injunction against further construction of the ark, saying that since God is flooding the earth, that is a religious act and therefore is unconstitutional. I really don't think I can finish the ark, Lord, for at least 5 or 6 years. Noah waited. The sky began to clear. The sun began to shine. The seas began to calm, and a rainbow arched across the sky. Noah looked up at God and hopefully, and said, "You mean you're not going to destroy the earth, Lord?" "No," the Lord said, "I don't have to. The government already has." And folks, that story launches us into my sermon this morning. Man takes that which God intended to be simple, and man can terribly complicate it. My sermon this morning is on the subject of prayer. I call it the simplicity of prayer. Earlier, we read from Acts chapter 12, many verses. Let me review the story for you, if I could. At the time of the story that we read, Herod was the king. He was not a good king, and he had taken and killed James, the brother of John. And in our story, he had also taken Peter and put Peter into prison. He places four groups of soldiers around that prison to secure Peter. And in Acts chapter 12, verse number 5, it says, "But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him," meaning the church was praying that Peter would be released. One night, Peter, in jail, bound, the Bible says, with two chains, sleeping between two guards posted outside the doors, and there he is sleeping, and God answers the prayer of the church and sends an angel to release Peter from this prison. The angel arrives at the prison. The angel had to kick or hit Peter in the side to wake him up. And the angel tells Peter, said, you get up. And all of a sudden, Peter's chains fall off. The angel tells Peter to put on his street clothes and tells him to get his shoes on. The angel then leads Peter past all the guards, and Peter is free as a result of prayer. Peter then goes to the house of Mary, where they're having a prayer meeting for his release. When Peter arrives, the doors are all shut and locked, and Peter knocks on the door. A gal by the name of Rhoda comes to the door, and she says, "Who is it?" And Peter says, "It's me, Peter." Rhoda, now remember, Rhoda was in the other room prior to the knock. She was on her knees because everybody had gone down there from the church, and they were down there praying that Peter would be released. She goes to the door, hears the knock. "Who is it?" Peter says, "It's me." Rhoda, I don't know what happened. She got so excited. She just ran away. She didn't even offer to let Peter in. The Bible says she ran into the other room where everybody else was praying, left Peter out in front of the house, left him outdoors there, and she went into everybody else that was praying, and she said, somebody asked, "Who was that at the door?" And she said, "It's Peter. He's free." And you know what they told her? "Nah, it's not that easy. Nah, no, you must be dreaming." She insisted. She said, "No, God has answered our prayer." Now, the Bible says Peter was still at the front door knocking. Someone else had to go and open the door, and the Bible says they were all just flat out astonished. Well, I think they were astonished for a couple of reasons. I think they were astonished because God answered the prayer. And then secondly, I think they were astonished at how simple it was. Matter of fact, you see their doubt in its simplicity, in their denial that it actually happened. Folks, God does not want prayer to be complicated. Listen to these verses about this important subject and this powerful privilege that's yours and mine called prayer. Listen to this. Psalm 81:10 says, "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." Boy, that's simple.
Yes, sir.
Listen to Matthew 7:7. "Ask, and it shall be given you." Well, that's simple. Simple enough. Listen to this. James 4:2. "Ye have not, because ye ask not." Now, that's pretty simple.
Yes, sir.
Looks to me like God is not trying to make prayer complicated. "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Ask, and it shall be given you. Ye have not, because ye ask not." Listen to this verse, Psalm 102, verse 17. "He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer." Now that's simple. Listen to James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and it shall be given him." Boy, that sounds simple. Hey, prayer is merely asking God for what you need. I think our biggest failures regarding prayer is not our technique, but I think we make it too complicated, and it's basically our prayer failures are the fact that we fail to pray. Some people tend to give the impression that prayer is very complicated, and I think sometimes people give the impression that prayer is complicated to justify their lack of success in prayer.
Yes.
We've got to make it seem more difficult than what it really is, because we're not really succeeding at such a simple thing. So we want to make it seem difficult. Hey, folks, prayer is simply getting your requests to God. God made prayer simple so all ages and all levels of education can do it. The youngest child in this auditorium, I would say that we probably have some four-year-olds that sat under my preaching this morning here. And I would say to every four-year-old, you can pray to God and God can answer your prayers. To every teenager that's in this auditorium, you don't have to wait until you're out of high school to learn how to pray. You can pray at your age. The children can pray. Teenagers can pray. Young adults can pray. We do not have to be seasoned veterans in our senior years before we connect to this easy, simple thing called prayer. We just don't. And God made it simple. And you say, "But Brother Owens, I don't have a Bible college education." You don't have to have a Bible college education to pray. God made it so that if you say, "Well, preacher, I'm an adult and I didn't even finish high school," I've got good news for you. You can still pray. But yet we have people that sit under the sound of my voice that have PhDs, and I say to you, you need prayer too. And God made it so that the most intelligent of the intelligent can do this thing called prayer, but the simplest of the simple can do this thing called prayer. God made prayer simple. Today's sermon is very simple. Very. Almost embarrassingly simple. I call the sermon, "The Simplicity of Prayer." I'm going to tell you how simple prayer actually is. First of all, may I say, prayer is simple. All you have to do is pray according to the Bible. All you have to do is pray according to the Bible. To the Bible. You say, why? The one that answers prayer is the one that wrote the Bible. All you have to do is say, I want a prayer answered from the one that wrote the Bible. He says, then make sure what you pray is according to the Bible. And I'll show you what that means. Listen to this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." There it says, when we pray, it's to be according to his will. You say, "Brother Owens, how do I find out what God's will is?" God reveals his will by his word.
Yes, sir.
If you want to pray, you pray according to the Bible. In other words, pray for that which the Bible would approve. I said pray for that which the Bible would approve. If God is for it, go ahead and pray for it. If the Bible disapproves of something, then don't ask God to go against the Bible.
That's right.
Get this. And you say, this is too simple. I think God made prayer easy. And I would say, this is probably the greatest failure in the Christian life are prayer failures. If you want to really get down to it, when we fail, you can trace it back. We failed to pray like we should. And I say prayer is simple. You just pray according to the Bible. And get this, if the Bible says that drinking beer is bad, then don't pray and ask God to give you beer or anything that would have to do with beer. He's just not going to answer that prayer. It's very simple. If God says you are not to have this, then don't ask him for that or anything that would be associated with that, because he's not going to answer that prayer. You may figure out a way to get what you want for yourself, but it didn't come from God. If the Bible says that doing evil to someone is bad, then don't pray to God and ask him to bring evil on someone.
Yes.
And there are virtually people under the sound of my voice that would pray and say, God, you get those people. Well, God says we're to do good unto one another. Why would God want to answer a prayer that the Bible says you shouldn't even be praying?
Yes.
You shouldn't be asking for that. So, prayer is simple. Don't ask for what the Bible says you're not supposed to have. If the Bible says that having a job is good, and it does, then pray for a job. I was talking to one of our good men this morning. He and I sat down. It's probably been 2 months ago. He and I sat down. He said, preacher, I want this job, and I think it's a good job, and I've looked at it, and I've prayed about it, and I feel like God wants me to have the job. He said, I come in to talk to you. Am I thinking right? I said, I think you're thinking right. He said, could you and I covet together that we'll get the job? I said, we'll covet together that we'll get the job. And we prayed, and it didn't come the first week, and we prayed, and it didn't come the second week, and we prayed, and it didn't come the third week, and we prayed, and it didn't come the fourth week or the fifth or the sixth. But many, many weeks later, guess what? He got the call this week. He got the job, and I'll guarantee you, I know it was God's will. He needed a job. God wanted to have a job, and he prayed for a job. You say, that's too simple. That's how it worked for us. The Bible says it's good to see people saved. You know what that means then? It's okay to pray for someone's salvation. If you ever wonder about that for which you should pray, go to the Bible and look to see if you ought to be asking for what you're asking. If you say, I don't think God would want me to ask for this, then if the Bible teaches that you ought not have it, then don't ask for it.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to get your prayers answered far better if you ask for that which God approves in the Bible, and you don't ask for that which God disapproves in the Bible. And I realize there are some of you, you would consider yourself veteran Christians, but I need to tell everybody in the house, God wants you to pray according to his will. And you're going to, the predominant way to find God's will is in God's book. So we don't pray contrary to the Bible. God never answers prayers that go against the teaching of the Bible.
That's right.
You say, that's so simple. I know.
Yes.
And it's true.
Yes.
Number two, I say to you, prayer is simple. Why do we complicate it so? Prayer is simple. So what do I do? When you pray, pray humbly.
Yes.
Pray humbly. What do you mean by that? Psalm chapter 10, verse 17 says this, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Here God's saying, I can hear the prayer of the humble. It says that he heard the desire of the humble. Now you say, how can I pray humbly? And again, such a simple thing. If you want to pray and get your prayers answered, pray humbly. Could I recommend that you get on your knees? That's humble. Now you do not have to pray on your knees, but could I recommend that it is a sign of humility? You say, you want me to bow down? Yes. But it's not me, it's God. might help you say, well, I'm not getting a particular prayer answered. Why didn't you stop praying standing up? Why don't you humble yourself to the point where you bow down? Prayer is simple. You look in the Bible, they knelt. But it's not only the bowing of the knee. I think sometimes it's the bowing of our pride. The bowing of our pride. Get this, in your prayer, if you want to have your prayers answered, prayer is a simple thing. We pray according to His will, then we pray humbly. And if we're going to pray humbly, then maybe we ought to pray as if we're nothing and He is everything. You say, God, I'll meet you halfway on this humble thing. Sorry, you didn't catch it. We ought to prepare our minds to realize we're nothing. He's everything. Don't be afraid to humble yourself to the point of begging. You say, preacher, I would like to get my prayers answered. Are you a beggar? You say, I would never. I'm better than that. Not in God's presence, you're not. And I'll assure you, there are people in this room that could get your prayers answered if you would humble down to the point where you become a beggar. There have been times when I've fallen on my face in my office and lost all my dignity, all of it. And I said, oh God, please, I beg of you. I cannot do this. I cannot make it. If you don't come, we're not going to make it. My God, come, please. And those so often are the times when God in mighty power says, man has moved man out of the road, and I can walk in and do what I am able to do. We don't pray humbly. We always keep a dose of us on the plate. Clear the plate. Go to God as an empty vessel needing the power and the prayers answered by God. Don't be arrogant with God in your prayer. Don't go to God and I want this and I deserve it. No, you deserve hell. Prayer is humbly asking, not telling. Don't be cocky with God in your prayer. Don't demand but humbly ask. Humility in prayer is realizing what He is. He's everything, and what you are. And that's basically nothing. Yes, sir. I think, folks, we complicate prayer. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we do. But I don't want prayer to be complicated. I want us to know we're just to pray according to the Bible. If God said it's okay, then it's okay. If God said it's not okay, then it's not okay. Monitor your prayer life on that basis. Secondly, I say to you, prayer is it's simple because we just come in humility and you come needing God and realizing that we're nothing and He's everything. And boy, if you'll start approaching your prayer with that right there, you're on your way. Number three, may I say that prayer is simple. You just have to personally mean it. Yes. Mean it. Yes. That doesn't seem unreasonable that you go to prayer and you mean it. The Bible says this in Matthew 6:7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Here's talk about using vain repetitions. Folks, I believe this. I think when we pray, we should ask sincerely for what we want. Don't let your prayers become empty repetition. He does not answer when you repeat it over and over and over again and you don't mean it. Now, I know something about our nature as human beings. Sometimes we can go to God and we mean it the first time, then we repeat ourselves 20 times thereafter and didn't mean it one single time. God's most apt to answer the one sincere request, but not the 19 insincere repetitiveness where you think that, well, if I just repeat this a month, I'm going to get it. No, God's looking at your heart. Right. Your heart's not in the 19 bits of repetition, but if your heart were in the one time when you asked for it and you meant it and you were sincere, that's what God's looking for. And so prayer is simple, but we need to mean it. Heartfelt prayers are not a show that we put on for God. Right. Don't go to God and try to put on some sort of a show. When you go to God and you're trying to use all these fancy words and impress him, oh, Lord God of Jehovah, Jehovah God of Abraham and Isaac, and he knows all those guys. But you throwing all that in there doesn't make God look down and say, boy, you are a Bible scholar. I think I'll answer your prayer. God really like you to get down to it and get down to begging and letting him know that you need him. Amen. Stop trying to be religiously impressive to God. Yes, I've filled up to here with people that want to be religiously impressive. Yes. What you need to do is get a dose of God. Amen. The real God of the universe. Yes. Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. That word truth there, I think, means your request is biblical, but I also, it means that your request is from your heart. You truly want it. Mean it the first time you ask, and then mean it every other time you ask. As you pray, listen to this, as you pray, God looks into your heart and head, and he knows if you really mean it. Do you know how flippantly we go to this thing called prayer? Many times we're not even talking to God. We're talking to ourselves. And that's one of the dangers of praying with someone else. Because often people that pray with someone else pray to impress their prayer partner instead of talk to God. Really, that's very true. It's a bit revealing, but it's very, very true. Don't pray to impress God. Don't pray to impress yourself. Pray sincerely to get something from God. So, I say prayer is simple. Man complicates it. Prayer is simple. Just pray according to the Bible. Prayer is simple. Just pray humbly. Prayer is simple. All you have to do is personally mean it. I think prayer is simple. You say, what's the key? Just keep doing it. Just keep praying. Just keep going. Luke 18:1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. It says not to faint. What's that mean? Don't get away from prayer. Just keep praying. Don't faint. Don't fall away from it. In Luke 18, there's a story. Most that have been in church any time have heard the story. Let me rehearse the story to you very quickly. In a city was a judge. In that same city, there was a certain widow. She went to that judge and she said, judge, avenge me of mine adversary. In other words, this widow had a situation with someone that she wanted resolved. She went to the judge and asked for resolution to the situation. The judge did not do it. He did not act upon her request. She asked again, judge, avenge me of mine adversary. He did not avenge her. He goes back to her again, said, judge, avenge me of mine adversary. She goes to him again and again and again. This poor, dear widow lady, she went to the judge over and over and over again and said, please avenge me. Please avenge me. Please avenge me. Please avenge me. Over and over and over again. And finally the judge says, okay, okay, lady, I will avenge you. He said, I'll avenge you because I'm tired of hearing from you about it. You're going to wear me out. Now you listen, the Bible says that God is teaching us a lesson about prayer in that story. We should be willing to go back to God over and over and over again to get what we need. Just keep praying. You say, preacher, can I go back to God over and over and over again about the very same thing? Yes, you can. If it is something that the Bible teaches is okay to God, go to God about, you can go ahead and go to him over and over and over again. That's okay. But could I recommend that it does not become vain repetition? Don't go and mean it the first time and then pray 20 other times and not mean it one time. You need to go sincerely. You need to to want it as bad the third time as you wanted it the first time. You need to want it as bad the 10th time that you go as you wanted it the first time. You need to want it as bad the 20th time you go as you wanted it the first time. Now you have the will of God, and now you have repetition, and now you have sincerity, and now you have humility, and I'm going to tell you how to get your prayers answered. It's not as hard as we make it out to be. God made prayer simple. He wants us to pray. He wants to answer our prayers. You say, preacher, how many times should I ask? I guess the only answer I can give you for sure is however many times it takes for God to answer. Just ask. Ask over and over and over, but mean it every time. You say that's obvious. I know, but we don't do it. If it's a right request, don't give up. A reason for a lack of prayer answering among Christians, or Christians getting their prayers answered, I believe we just don't keep doing it. I'll tell you also, I think one of the reasons why in America there are very few praying Christians anymore is because there are very few people that actually have character anymore. This thing of keeping after this thing of prayer, it's almost unheard of. People give up too easy. We have a very lethargic level, a very dead, a very low level of character in America. I love this. As the boat was sinking, the skipper lifted his voice to ask, "Does anybody know how to pray?" One sailor spoke confidently in answer, "Yes, Captain, I know how to pray." The captain nodded, "That's all right then. You go ahead and pray. The rest of us will put on life belts. We're one short, buddy." Hey, listen, I wish I could help everybody and I could meet every need. I wish that I knew how to meet your emotional needs. I wish I knew how to meet your financial needs. I wish I knew how to meet all your counseling needs, all your spiritual needs, all your physical needs. But no man can do that. The best thing I could do for some of you is to teach you to get to the one that can meet your every need. And he decided that one of the ways that he would meet your needs is a thing called prayer. And he never intended for the human race to complicate it like we do. We make it so complicated. It's not that complicated. It's not supposed to be that complicated. They were praying for Peter to get out of jail, and he got out of jail. And when he knocked on the door and they said, "Who is it?" He said, "It's me." And they said, "It can't be. Can't be that simple. All we did was pray." But it was. Yes, sir. It was. I believe that prayer is to be simple. If we pray according to the Bible, if he's for it, pray for it. If he's not, don't. Prayer is simple. We're to be humble in our approach to God. Prayer is simple. We have to mean it. It's got to be sincere from our heart. Prayer is simple. If we'll just keep doing it, that means be as repetitive in your prayer as your sincerity will carry you. But the minute you're just being repetitive and you're no longer sincere and it's no longer from the heart and you're no longer humble about it and it no longer means anything to you, you have become religious, but you're not spiritual in your prayers. And there is a difference. We're not trying to impress God. And then number five, I think prayers to be simple. I would recommend that you ask for that which you want. Ask for what you want. Psalm chapter 27, verse number 4, it says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek." He said, "That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." You hear what he said? The psalmist said, "One thing that I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after." He said, "I know what I want, and I'm telling God what I want." And he prayed. I think sometimes, folks, our prayers are too often not definite. If you want your prayers answered, you need to be definite in your prayer. I think too often our prayers are too vague. I think too often our prayers find us beating around the bush, if you will, with God. Hey, figure out what you want and ask for it. If it's good and if it's right, then it's okay to ask for it. Go ahead and ask. Be specific. You know, when you receive vague instructions for taking a trip, you're probably not going to get where you're going. But let me say also, if you receive vague instructions to take a trip, and let's say you do get where you're going, the vague instructions will slow you down. You've been better off having specific instructions. I have a GPS. It talks to me. It started out, and it had a woman's voice on it. We did away with that immediately. I got one woman telling me what to do. I don't need two. Then we put a man's voice on it. I got in the car one day and I found that Mrs. Owens had put a man's voice on it. And it was a British accent. I got in the car and said, honey, why is that? She said, it reminds me of James Bond. There, I get in my car, I turn on the GPS, and if I tell the GPS where I'm going, it gives me specific instructions on how to get there. My GPS, and look right this way, my GPS, it will say to me, you go 2.7 miles and turn right. And I'll tell you, if I go 2.8 miles, it starts yelling at me, recalculating, idiot, recalculating. My GPS does not say to me, kind of go down this way and kind of sort of, if you'll turn down that way a little bit, maybe a little bit. It doesn't do it that way. And may I say to you, I think sometimes you and I, we have some place we want to go with God. We have something that we need from God, but I think we get sometimes too vague. And why don't you tell God what you want? We often will pray, oh God, your will be done. Now, I'm for that because the Bible talks about that. We ought to want God's will to be done. But listen, if we know something is His will, then it's okay to pray specifically for it. If you say, I want my dad saved, can I tell you, I would not pray about your dad being saved by saying, your will be done about my dad's salvation. God wants your dad saved. Go ahead and say, I want my dad saved. Please, God, save my dad. Don't water down your request. Say, Brother Owens, my son is backslidden, and I would like to have God's will concerning him coming back to God. God wants him to come back. You don't say, God, you know, I hope somewhere, somehow, he'll come back. Ask God to bring him back and bring him back soon. I think we become too vague. Look, if you know it's in God's will, there's nothing wrong with being specific. You ask for money. Because, okay, there's some of you made promises to our missions program for Faith Promise. Go ahead and ask God for what you need. Go ahead. You say, well, I'm not sure God would want to give me money to give to the missionaries. Oh, come on. We lose confidence. I told you earlier, I think a man prayed in God's will for a particular job, and I think he got it. You've heard the story. I heard Dr. John R. Rice tell this story. Dr. Rice talked about how a man died and he went to heaven. When he got to heaven, and I don't know how old St. Pete's the one that always gives everybody a tour, but St. Pete was giving him a tour. Pete must have on his resume tour guide or something. Old St. Pete was leading this guy around heaven, and they came to a certain room, and Jesus met them there, and St. Pete said, should we let him in? And Jesus said, let's let him in. And they went in this room, and it was amazing. The room was so full. I mean, all the riches and things that you would never dream of. And the man's eyes lit up and said, wow, look at this. Is this the storage room for all the wonderful things of heaven? And Jesus said, no, my son, this was your room. These were the things that I was going to send you, but you never asked. And I wonder how much God has had for you and I, but we never asked. I think we make prayer too difficult. Prayer is simple. So what do, preacher? Ask for what you want. That's what God told us to do. Not only that, I think prayer is simple. All you have to do is pray. All you have to do is just pray. Just pray. James 4:2 says, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet ye have not because you ask not. Now this is probably the most powerful point of the whole sermon. It won't take long. Why does he not answer? We don't ask. Wow, how simple is that? Let me ask you a question. Do you pray? Wonder if we started in the balcony up here and I went to every single person and you had to tell the truth. And I said to you, how much time have you spent in prayer this week? How much time have you spent in prayer this week? How much time have you spent in prayer this week? How much time have you spent in prayer this week? How much time have you spent in prayer this week? How much time have you spent in prayer this week? How much time have you spent in prayer? And if every one of us had to tell the truth, I think we'd be embarrassed. I think we'd be embarrassed. You have not. Okay, doctor of theology, give us all the reasons why we have not. Because you don't pray. That's why we don't have. I'm talking about more than coming to church and listening to someone else say a prayer at the beginning and at the end. I'm talking about more than we bow our heads real quick a handful of times a week at home and say, God bless the food. Prayer's simple. Main thing about prayer is you got to pray. Brother Owens, teach us the deep things of prayer. I'm teaching you the biggest problem with prayer. You don't pray. There's a difference in a prayer time and a prayer life, by the way. I think it's a wonderful thing to have a prayer time. And I need folks to stop walking in and out and interrupting. I'm not trying to be rude to anybody, but this sermon could change somebody's life forever. That is, if I can keep their attention long enough to get them the truth. But listen, I think it's good for us to have a time of prayer where we set it aside and we go and we pray. But folks, pray all day long. Pray about everything. Most Christians just don't pray. They put it off, and then they fall asleep when they're supposed to be doing it. And again, I think our prayer failures are so much character failures. I had a lady impress me very much. It's been about a week ago now. She'll know who she is. Nobody else will. She said, preacher, she said, I've heard you talk about, you know, in your preaching. She said, it's probably been a couple of months ago and you said something and you said, please, I challenge you to pray for your pastor for an hour on your knees. She came to my office very humbly about 6 or 7 days ago. She wasn't bragging. She came in and she said, preacher, she said, I want you to know, twice now since the beginning of the year, I've stayed on my knees for one solid hour and did nothing but pray for you. I've been preaching over 30,000 times, and it's rare that I've had ever felt like somebody really did it and really meant it. And to that person, thank you. Thank you. Who knows what sustenance, who knows what sustaining power was made available to the pastor and the church because somebody prayed. Made a phone call yesterday afternoon to a friend, not even a preacher. I called, he didn't answer. I called again, he didn't answer. Finally, I called and he answered. He said, I'm so sorry. He said, I know you've been calling. He said, Brother Owens, I just prayed for about 18 straight hours. He said, while you were calling me, I was calling God for you. Oh. 18 straight hours. And how much time did you spend in prayer this week? And how much time did you spend in prayer this week? And how much time did you spend in prayer this week? How much time did you spend in prayer this week? And how much time did you spend in prayer this week? And when you're busy doubting God, God's busy doubting you. Prayer's simple. All you got to do is do it. Prayer's simple. All you have to do is believe God. Have faith in God. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here the Bible says, God said, you know, we can get our prayers answered. It says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is. He is. Do you believe he is? Is there a God, Christian? I sometimes wonder if we're not atheists in our prayer life. He is. Is there a real God to whom you are praying? The Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's not a ceramic figurine. He's a real God of the universe. Do you believe he is? But wait, it goes on to say, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Number one, if you're going to get your prayers answered here, it says you got to believe that he is. Doesn't do any good to go through a religious act called prayer if you don't even believe God's there. Then you've got to believe that he is a prayer answering God. You got to believe that he's a rewarder, the Bible says. You must believe he is a prayer answering God. You see, we are the ones that fail God in our prayer life, and then he gets a short end of the stick because we have disbelief. Have you not received that for which you asked? And as a result of it, you decided that he does not answer prayer? Have you lost your faith in God's ability to answer prayer? Let me tell you something. When it comes to the answering of prayer, God will always do what God's supposed to do. Always. I'm not sure we do what we're supposed to do. Believe God. I have one last point and I'm finished. I want you to stay with me, please. Prayer is simple. It's simple. God never intended for it to be hard. The human race tends to complicate it. Reverends tend to complicate it. But I don't think God wants it to be complicated. God says you can pray boldly, and we ought to pray boldly. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now notice here, you say, but preacher, earlier you told us to come humbly. Now you're telling us to come boldly. The Bible contradicts itself. The Bible never contradicts itself. Boldness is not arrogance. Boldness is not cockiness. Boldness is sincere confidence that for which you are praying is something you ought to pray. Say, how do I know that? Well, you picked up your topic from the Bible. You picked up your request. You said, I checked in the Bible. Bible says this is something God would want to give me. If you're asking God for something that he wants to give you, then it's okay to go to God and say, God, I have the boldness to ask for this. You say, why? I qualified it in your book. You can be bold if you're praying according to the will of God. You can be bold if you're praying humbly. You say, that sounds so contradictory. No, but it's so true. You can pray boldly if you're praying sincerely. You can pray boldly if you're going to stick with it. You can pray boldly if you ask for what you want. It's according to the will of God. You can pray boldly if you believe in God and you believe in prayer and that he is a rewarder. Be bold about your faith and his prayer answering power. You're to have a certain boldness in your faith in God's ability. Be bold about your standing as a child of God, giving you access to the throne of God. When God talks about our approaching him boldly, he's not talking about arrogance. He's not talking about just walking right in, treating God like an equal. No, he's talking about crawling in, but saying, I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming because Jesus saved me and he made me a part of the family of God. And the Bible says I'm allowed to come. That's boldness. Bold because he told you to ask. He told you to pray. I look right back here and see our dear church member, Ralph Malat. Handful of days ago, the call came. I rushed to the emergency room. Ralph had had a severe heart attack. It shocked his heart twice to bring him back. When I went to pray for Ralph, I said, God, you told me to ask for what I want. I said, I want Ralph back taking the bus count at the church. He was back taking the bus count at the church. He's a miracle. Brother Ralph, I don't want to scare you. It's a miracle you're alive. Folks, remember this. We can be bold because prayer was God's idea, not ours. That's the boldness of it. When God talks about coming boldly to the throne of grace, he's not talking about walking in and taking over and demanding. He's talking about crawling in and saying, I can do this because you told me I could. And humbly realizing we've been given a privilege to approach the throne of grace. That's what he means by boldness. I call the sermon the simplicity of prayer. Prayer is simple. Just pray according to the Bible. Prayer is simple. Just pray humbly. Prayer is simple. Just mean it while you pray. Prayer is simple. Just keep doing it and meaning it every time. Prayer is simple. Just ask for what you want. Prayer is simple. You just got to pray. And prayer is simple. You got to believe in God. And then finally, when we do all of that, we can approach him boldly. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to recommend prayer to you. You say, I'm glad I'm in church. I'm not saved and I want to learn how to pray. I want to recommend this to you though. The most important prayer that you'll ever pray is asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. You say, why? The Bible teaches once you get saved, you get an automatic prayer partner. You say, I do? Is the church going to assign me someone? No, God assigned you someone. You say, who is it? Jesus. You say, I'm not sure I could get my prayers answered, but your prayer partner can. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I want to recommend you get saved today. Is it hard? No. People try to make it hard. It's simple. All you got to do is realize you're a sinner. There's a penalty for your sin. That's death and hell. But that Jesus Christ paid that penalty for you with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You have to turn to Jesus and say, I'm sorry for my sin. I don't want to die and go to hell. Ask him to come into your heart and be your Savior. It's a prayer. And God will come in and save you. Simple. They call it God's simple plan of salvation. Just as simple as prayer. That's how God wanted it to be. You say, why? Because God wanted all ages, from the four-year-olds to the senior citizen, to get saved. He wanted to make it simple. Why is it so simple? Well, he wanted salvation to be simple just in case you're not real educated. He made it so you could. But if you're extremely educated, you come to salvation the same way the rest of us do. He made it simple. The simplicity of prayer and the simplicity of salvation. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, we want you to come and be saved. Who here today would say, Pastor, if I died today, I do not know for a fact that I would go to heaven. I need to be born again. I need to be saved. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I want to. Pray for me, preacher. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I want to be saved, and I'm not, but God bless you, I see that hand, and God bless you, I see that hand. Somebody else, you say, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. Those of you that raised your hand just a moment ago, in a second, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. The way that altar call will work is in a moment, we'll all stand. In a moment, the choir will begin to sing. Others will start coming forward. If you're not saved, you leave your seat. You walk down the aisle. You come toward the front. The men that are now sitting on this platform with me will have stepped off the platform and post themselves down front at the end of each aisle. You leave your seat, you walk forward, walk up to them and say, I want to be saved. Someone will very simply take the Bible and show you how to be born again. You'll leave this place on your way to heaven. You know who you are. If you even didn't raise your hand, you come if you need to be saved. Now let me ask this question. Who here would say, Brother Owens, God has spoken to my heart very specifically about this issue of prayer in my life. Something about prayer God has talked to me about. Would you raise your hand and say, oh, that's me. That's me. God bless you. Hands all over this place. It might be that some of you, if you really mean it, ought to leave your seat, come down here and get on your face humbly before God and talk to him about it for a minute. Some have backslidden in your prayer life. You are depending on your character and not your God. There are people you ought to leave your seat, come down here and get on your face and pray. There are some that need to be saved. I think there's some that are just backslidden. You ought to come and rededicate your life. Maybe somebody here today, maybe you've been saved and you've not made it public. Why don't you come? Maybe you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism after your salvation. You need to come. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need, you come, choir, sing. If you're not saved, you walk up to one of the men and say, I need to be born again. If you're a Christian in the balcony or the lower floor and you're away from God in your prayer life, you come. Come and get on your knees and pray. Reestablish that commitment to God. Maybe you've never prayed. Maybe you've never been a prayer. You need to come down here and say, God, I see it. It's not that hard. It doesn't matter if you're young or you're old or you're extremely well-educated or not so educated. God made prayer so we can all do it. God wanted everybody to have access to the same God. We can pray boldly. That's not cocky. That's not arrogance. That is, we come to Him humbly, yet boldly, because we have access to God through our salvation. If you've been saved and never baptized, you ought to get that taken care of. You come and present yourself for baptism. If you have been saved and baptized and you've never joined fellowship with our church, maybe it's time for you to join the church. What's your need? Our great failures in life are probably prayer failures. I think we develop an atheistic view about prayer sometimes. It's almost as if it's all vain repetition. We're not locking in on God as we pray, truly believing there's a God and He's there. He's listening. God is listening to what you say, and He's monitoring your heart and your mind for sincerity. And are you really praying to Him, or are you just blowing words out in front of your face? What is it? God knows. Still open. Children can pray, adults can pray. The young can pray, the old can pray. The wealthy can pray. The not so wealthy can pray. The healthy can pray. The not so healthy can pray. Same God, same approach. The simplicity of prayer. Please sing another verse of the song. One more verse, please. Soul winners, be thorough. Name takers, write clearly. This is it. Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation. Have a seat there. If we